turning your Bibles to Romans chapter 12. We began to look at this chapter and in studying through the book of Romans. We've shifted over to studying it on Sunday nights for these remaining chapters. We're going kind of slowly at the beginning, but we're going to pick up the speed after tonight. But these first two verses are so instrumental in describing Paul's ethic and how to apply the doctrine that he's been teaching in the first 11 chapters. I wanted to make sure that we looked at this carefully, and you might want to hold your bulletin in your Bible because that'll basically be the sermon outline for tonight, these two questions that are from the shorter catechism. We're looking specifically tonight on how it is that we become transformed through the renewing of our minds. Romans chapter 12, and reading these first two verses. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. Let's pray. Father, these are very familiar words and two verses that we have, as a congregation, studied many times together. We've thought about them. We have referred to them in our conversations one with another. We pray for these few minutes that we have together tonight that you would enable us to experience exactly what Paul is talking about here, that in a fresh, new way, you would, through your word, renew our minds. We pray that you would transform us as your people. We know that this is part of a lifelong process, progressive sanctification, where you, by your Spirit and through your word, cause us to hate our sin more and more, and to love righteousness more and more, and to become more and more like the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray that you would indeed renew our minds and transform us this evening and give us a knowledge of your will. And we pray this in Christ's name. Amen. In these verses, Paul tells us that we can be transformed. We don't have to be conformed to this world. We don't have to resemble this world. We don't have to think and act like the world around us. We can be transformed into the people that God wants us to be. We can know and we can do the will of God. And that will for us is good. It's a good will. It's something that pleases God. It's something that we will find pleases, brings pleasure to us. It's God's perfect will, and God reveals his will to us in his word. The transformation is accomplished by having our minds renewed. It is the mind that is, it's not the only thing in the Christian life, but it is the key to everything else. It begins with truth that is revealed from God. It's in our minds, and it's the means by which God reveals himself to us, and he transforms us, he changes us. It's our minds that direct everything else that goes on in our lives, or it should. That's the way that it should work, is the mind instructing the heart, and then the mind and the heart working together to dictate how we are going to behave, who we're going to be, our character, what our life is going to be like. The battle is fought in the mind, as Francis Schaeffer would say. If you've ever read his little book on true spirituality, he talks about the essential aspect of addressing the mind first so that we can have the truth of God in us, that God might transform us. Tonight I just want to give an overview. We've already looked at verses 1 and 2, but I just wanted to give a practical overview on how it is that God uses His Word in our lives to transform us and to change us into the people that He would have us to be. I can't find a better description than what we find in the Shorter Catechism in these two questions and answers, very practical questions on how the Word is to be received and what we're supposed to do with the Word when it comes to us. I first discovered the truths that were in these catechism questions back in 1981 when I taught a Sunday school class. We stretched it out for 13 weeks just looking at these two questions and answers on how to profit from God's Word. And so I'll be referring to those catechism questions and a number of quotes that I've collected from various authors over a period of time. Question 89, as I said, that's going to be your sermon outline tonight, is what you have in the bulletin, unless you've got this memorized and know exactly where we're going. Question 89, how is the Word made effectual to salvation? And the answer that is given is that it's the Spirit of God. It's the Spirit of God who makes the reading, but especially the preaching of the Word, an effectual means of convincing and converting sinners. Who is that? Us. Okay, this is not just something about evangelism. It's not just how to convince and convert the unbeliever so that they become a Christian. It involves that. But even after we are convinced and converted, we remain sinners. And so we are still in need of this transformation through God's Word. It's an effectual means of convincing and converting sinners and of building them up in holiness and comfort through faith unto salvation. We're to read God's Word. It's as simple as that. You have to read the Bible. You have to bring your mind into contact with God's Word as He has revealed it. We're to read God's Word. We don't just read the Bible once. You know, great book, I've read it once, and go on to something else. You don't just read it through a couple of times in your life. It's something that is to be a constant companion throughout your life. We need to read the Bible, a daily discipline of constantly reading, exposing ourselves to the truth of God as it's revealed in Scripture, and to do this all of our life. This is a good day to think about what you're going to do for the next year, the year that's coming up. Do I have a plan? Am I going to read through the Bible? Is that part of my daily schedule, is that I take my Bible out and read it with the intention that God's going to transform me through the renewing of His mind, through the renewing of my mind? There's a lot of schedules that you can use. You can find these online. There's every schedule imaginable online as to how to read through God's Word. Personally, I find it harder and harder as I get older to read through the Bible every year. I hope that's okay to say. I find myself slowing down more and more and thinking more and more of what is there, and I find it harder to get through. You have to read about 4 chapters a day in order to get through the entire Bible, and I've done that many, many times. There's also something strange, though, of thinking about spending as much time reading Chronicles as you do the Gospel of John. I hope that doesn't offend anybody that Chronicles is their favorite book of the Bible. But it just seems that you should be giving more attention at particular points in your life to the most important parts of Scripture. You have to read about 4 chapters a day to get through the entire Bible in a year. You have to read about 22 verses a day to get through the New Testament. The New Testament would be a good goal. If you're not in the habit of reading through the Bible, you want a schedule. If you can just think in terms of 20, 25 verses a day, you can get through the entire New Testament in a year. Lots of plans on the internet that you can download. You just Google Bible reading plans, and everything under the sun is there, and very helpful. Do you know about Bible Gateway online? Okay. They will read it for you. You can look it up in a variety of translations, and if you've studied foreign languages, you can look it up in French and Spanish and whatnot. But you can also click it, and someone will read it to you. So you can use two senses. You can be listening, and you can be reading at the same time, and go through and read a portion of God's Word. But you've got to read the Bible in order for the Bible to renew your mind. You've got to bring yourself into contact with the Scripture. But Christians also need to hear God's Word read and preached. It's not just the reading. The Spirit of God makes the reading, but especially the preaching of the Word, to be an effectual means of salvation. The Word of God that is preached has a unique power that exceeds even your devotional reading. That sounds contrary sometimes to our experience. We think I get the most out of the Bible when I'm reading it by myself and in my private devotions, but the Catechism is telling us that the more powerful means of grace is through the preaching of the Word. The Word preached is God's primary means for renewing your mind. And then Christians also use God's Word in their friendships with one another. We read it, we hear it preached, we listen to it being preached, but at the same time we use it as we interact with one another. We encourage one another with scriptures. We are in Bible studies, maybe one-on-one with somebody, sharing scriptures, counseling one another. There's great profit in getting with another Christian and sharing God's Word. The Spirit of God makes the reading, but especially the preaching of the Word, an effectual means of transforming us into the image of Christ. It's the Spirit who makes this exposure to the Word effective. It's not just the mere reading, it's not just our thinking through it, but it's the Spirit of God who is at work in the Word. The Spirit gives the Word its renewing power. We're not just going through a mental change. We're not just taking on board new information. We're not just changing the way that we think and learning a new viewpoint, a new way of looking at things. We're experiencing the Spirit of God Himself. The Spirit who inspired the writers to write Scripture comes and applies that scripture, opens up our minds and hearts, and applies that word in a supernatural way so that it transforms us. Martin Luther uses the illustration of putting an iron poker into a fire, and you can see how the metal begins to glow with the heat from that fire. Luther says, just as the heated iron always glows like fire because of the union of fire with it, so the Word imparts its qualities to the soul. You bring your mind and your heart into contact with the Word, and it's the Spirit using that Word in the life of His people to cause that Word to warm us, to change us, to transform us. It becomes a part of us. The end result is that we experience this renewed mind and we become transformed. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. In the words of the Catechism, we become convinced. The Spirit of God who's using the Word to convince us. We begin to agree with what God says. We take on board what God says. We agree with Him. We say, this is right. We're convinced of the truth. We're converted. We undergo a change in the way that we think, in the way that we feel, the things that we love, the things that we hate, the things that begin to bother us. We become transformed. We begin to sense this within us. You know, we're uncomfortable with things that people say, or we're uncomfortable with what goes on in the culture around us. That's part of the transformation, or seeing, you know, coming into line with God's will. You feel out of place when you look at what's going on around you. You're being converted. You're feeling differently. You're making different choices. You're behaving differently. Convinced, converted, built up in holiness. We become more God-like and we become less sin-like. We become more like God. We become more Christ-like. We're filled with the Spirit. The whole Trinity is at work changing and transforming us. We're built up in holiness and we're built up in comfort. Our faith is greater. Our assurance is greater. Our joy is greater. Our experience of peace is greater. Because we're being built up, we're being edified, made stronger. Now, question 90, how does this work? What are we to do? Question 89 tells us what God does. It's the Spirit of God who makes this happen. Now, what are we to do? Back to what we were talking about this morning, the fine balance between God's sovereignty and human responsibility. What is God going to do? And then what am I supposed to do? Well, question 89 is what God's going to do. The Spirit of God will transform you as you expose yourself to His Word. Now, what do I do? What do I have to do? Question 90. How is the Word to be read and heard that it may become effectual to salvation? That the Word may become effectual to salvation, we must attend thereunto with diligence, preparation, and prayer, receive it with faith and love, lay it up in our hearts, and practice it in our lives. Catechism says that if you do that, you'll be transformed. Your mind will be renewed, and you will be transformed into the likeness of Christ. At least six disciplines here. First of all, diligence. One of my favorite passages about diligence in terms of discovering God's will is Proverbs chapter 2 in the first five verses. Proverbs 2, my son, if you accept my words and store up my commands within you, turning your ear to wisdom and applying your heart to understanding. Indeed, if you call out for insight and cry aloud for understanding, and if you look for it as for silver and search for it as for hidden treasure, then, verse 5, you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. Just looking at the verbs that are there, accept the word, store them up, turn your ear, apply your heart, call out, cry aloud, look, search. Diligence is required if you're going to discover the treasure. John Owen said, silver and treasures are not gathered by every lazy passenger on the surface of the earth. They must dig, seek, search who intend to be partakers of them. Walking along, you just don't find treasures. You've got to stop and dig. You know, it's buried treasure. You've got to apply yourself and apply diligence in looking for it. Diligence means keep at it. Make it a part of your daily habit. Week after week, month after month, year after year. It's cumulative in effect. As you diligently give yourself to the Word of God, you don't just get transformed overnight. It's something that you have to engage in diligently for a period of time for it to have its full effect. Diligence, and then preparation. But the great danger is you open up your Bible in the morning to read or in the evening whenever you read it, and what do? You just start reading. Got to get it over with. I got to get, three chapters down, four chapters down, whatever it is, and so I can get on to something else. Or, just by reading it, I'm going to get some benefit, and then I'll stop and think about what I read. Well, catechism reminds us that we're to prepare ourselves first. We need to stop before we read anything and pray. We need to think. What is it that I'm going to read? Why am I reading it? We need to stop and remind ourselves exactly what we're going to be doing. Pause and prepare yourself. Think about what you're doing. Remind yourself that this is God's Word. This is not just a daily routine that I engage in. I'm not just looking for helpful little hints about life. This is God Himself speaking and revealing Himself through His Word. And so you stop and prepare yourself for what's going to come. My mind wanders a lot. It seems to get worse and worse. You start to read, all of a sudden, oh, I'm supposed to call so-and-so today. Or, I need to do this, I need to do that. I find it very helpful to have post-it notes stuck in my Bible or a little pad of paper or something so that when those thoughts come to mind, I'm not sitting there the whole time I'm reading thinking I need to call Carrie D'Antonio and ask her something. I can just write it down, and it has an amazing effect. If you write it down, you stop thinking about it because then you're not worrying, I got to remember this. Write it down so that your mind can be clear. It's part of preparing yourself to receive God's Word. The third discipline is prayer. One of the Puritans, Thomas Brooks, said, "Many read much and pray little, therefore get little by all they read." Many read much and pray little, and therefore get little by all they read. You ever read through five chapters of the Bible and then thought, what in the world was that all about? Or what difference does this make? Is this going to be on the test? Do I really need to know this? Do I go back and try to reread it again? Praying really does help. Praying before you read, praying as you read, turning the words themselves into prayer as you are reading through, especially in the Psalms or in the prophets, to pause and pray those words. John Stott has pointed out how it's like having a conversation with God. You read the Bible, and God is speaking to you, and then in prayer, you are speaking to God. And the mistake that a lot of us make is that we will read the Bible, and then when we go to pray, we change the conversation. We start thinking, well, I need to go through adoration, confession, thanksgiving, and supplication. And Stott points out, think of it as a conversation. God has just said something to you in His Word. So respond to Him. Respond to what He said. Stay on the same page with God. Think of it as a conversation where you're reading and then you're turning that into prayer, conversing with God. Things to pray about, just a quick list. Pray for illumination. Psalm 119, verse 18. Open my eyes that I may behold wonderful things from your law. Stop and pray and ask that God would illuminate. He would turn on the lights. He would shine His Word into your life. Pray for understanding. Ephesians 1:17. I keep asking that God may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know Him better. Pray that you would understand what God is revealing. Pray for application. Luke 1:38, Mary's prayer. Behold the servant of the Lord. May it be done to me according to your word. She's not just thinking a Savior is coming. She's thinking, I've got a big part to play in this. May it be done to me. She's praying for the application of that word, that it would really take effect in her. Pray for others. Ephesians 1:18. Paul says, I pray also that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened. Do you ever pray that on Sunday mornings? sermon's getting ready. Do you ever pray for the people sitting next to you? Do you pray for your husband? Do you pray for your wife, your children, visitors who may be here? Not just that I might understand the word that is preached, but, you know, God, would you help these other people, my brothers and sisters who have gathered here? Or maybe there's an unsaved person who's come in this morning. Do you pray for others, as Paul prayed for the Ephesians, that they would understand and see God's will? Pray for your pastor, 2 Thessalonians, that we've just finished studying. Pray for us, Paul says, that the message of the Lord may run rapidly and shine gloriously throughout the world. Diligence, preparation, prayer. The fourth discipline is receive it with faith and love. Receive it with faith. Believe it. This is true. This is God who does not lie. God himself is speaking. I'm to believe this. I'm to put my trust in this. I'm not just to view it as being true, but I'm to put myself, throw myself upon God in terms of what he is saying here. Don't just think about it in a detached way. Personally, grasp what is being revealed. We have a warning about this in Hebrews chapter 4, really the entire book of Hebrews, but Hebrews chapter 4. Therefore, since the promise of entering his rest still stands, let us be careful that none of you be found to have fallen short of it. He's writing to believers. He says, you could fall short of this. God has promised something here. Verse 2, for we also have had the good news proclaimed to us, just as they did, but the message they heard was of no value to them because they did not share the faith of those who obeyed. They heard it. It's not enough to hear the word of God. It's got to be received with faith. You have to join faith with what is being heard. John Owen said, to hear and not believe is in the spiritual life what to see meat and not to eat is in the natural. Just to look at something, to go to Queen Anne's Revenge or Med Bistro or Outback and order a nice steak and look at it and then get up and walk away. You know, that's what it's like to hear the word of God and not believe it. You haven't nourished yourself. You haven't appropriated it for yourself. You've just admired it and you've looked at it. And Owen says, it will please the fancy, but it will never nourish the soul. Faith is like eating. That's what we see in the sacrament, is the eating. Jesus giving himself. We nourish ourselves on what is given. Faith is like eating. It's like drinking. We personally appropriate what is there. Receive it with faith and then receive it with love. We just studied through 2 Thessalonians. 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 10, they perish because they refuse to love the truth and so be saved. Paul specifically says they don't love the truth. They hear it, they know it, but they don't love it. And so they're not saved. Fifth discipline is lay it up in our hearts. The word may become effectual to salvation. We must attend thereunto with diligence, preparation, and prayer. Receive it with faith and love. Lay it up in our hearts. You've got to figure out how to get the word to go with you throughout the day. Not just so that you read it, close your Bible, now let's get on with real life. You've got to figure out how to get that truth to go with you throughout the day. You've got to pause long enough to think about it. meditate upon it. This is where you have to be careful with reading plans. There are really good reading plans where you can read through the entire Bible in 90 days, and I've had some friends who have done that. And I think it's beneficial if you want to gain the big picture and understand what's going on and see books of the Bible as to what the message is. And there are things that you can only learn by sitting down and reading through Matthew and looking at it as a whole. But the danger is that you then walk away without something that you can feed upon for that day. There's not one thing that lingers with you. And so we're told that we need to lay it up in our hearts. Somehow we have to figure out how to carry that word with us throughout the day. Meditate, memorize, write it on a piece of paper, take it with you, consult it during the day. You've got all these devices nowadays. You can take those out and you can look at it. Not just reading something new, but going over and over and over the thing that you read at the beginning of the day. One truth. Turning your mind back to it over and over. And then the last thing the Catechism tells us is to practice it in our lives. We do all of this assimilating the word. We have our minds transformed. Our minds are renewed. We become transformed. The process is not complete until we begin to put it into practice in our lives. We're thinking right thoughts. We're feeling right feelings. We're making good choices. But it has to come out in our daily behavior and in our character. Jerry Bridges said, the relationship between conduct and character is an intimate one. In the form of repeated actions over time, conduct produces character. What you do determines who you are. What we do, we become. What we are, we do. The whole transformation process is only complete when we begin to do the will of God, the good will of God, the pleasing will of God, that which is perfect. And we'll end just by reading what James has to say on this. We end the day right where we began. We were thinking this morning in opening exercises about great is thy faithfulness, first stanza taken from James 1 and verse 17. And so James tells us about being transformed by putting into practice the word of God. James 1:17. Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. He chose to give us birth through the word of truth. Here's the word that's going to renew our minds and transform us. He gave us birth. He chose to give us birth through the word of truth that we might be a kind of first fruits of all he created. My dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry, because human anger does not produce the righteousness that God desires. Well, what does? You know, what produces the righteousness of God? What transforms us? Therefore, get rid of all moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent, and humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like someone who looks at his face in a mirror. And after looking at himself, goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But whoever looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues in it, not forgetting what they have heard, but doing it, they will be blessed in what they do. They will have their minds renewed and they will be transformed. Let's pray. Father, as we end this year and as we look ahead at a new one, pray that you would help us to evaluate ourselves, that we would look at ourselves in the light of your grace. We thank you for the new life that you have given to us, that by your grace you have caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. And we depend upon that same grace and mercy from you to be at work in us as we look forward to a new year. We pray that we would have a right sense of balance when it comes to discerning grace and duty. We pray that we would discipline ourselves for godliness, that we would be diligent in exposing our minds and our lives to the truth of your word, that we may truly experience a radical change in this coming year. Father, we know that it's hard work. It requires a change of schedule, of priorities. We need to want to do this. So we pray that you'd be gracious to us. Preserve us from falling into the ditch on the other side of thinking that somehow we are making ourselves holy, that we're making ourselves better, that by our own efforts we are gaining some kind of favor with you. Help us to see that fine line of balance, simply placing ourselves in that very place where you have promised to bless us through those ordinary means of grace, word, sacrament, and prayer. We pray this for the glory of Christ. Amen.